Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Second hour is on. I'll be joined in the third hour by Tiffany Cianci. We're talking about the disturbing marriage between private equity and AI. I'm very excited to talk about that. We have a lot of news to get into, but I want to illustrate something here. This is, again, my frustration of seeing Mamdani and Trump sort of glad-handing with each other. Trump's like, this Mamdani guy's got a lot of great ideas. And it's like, well, no, he doesn't. Actually, he doesn't have it. He has wishes. He has dreams. He has fantasies that sound nice. But when asked how he's going to do any of it, he has absolutely no clue. So that's not good. And we know that, in general, politicians, not the most honest group of people. But man, the Democrats are really setting new standards for lying. There's a woman who's running for a seat in Nashville, Tennessee. I guess she already is a representative of some sort. She's running for re-election. And she got in trouble because people think she hates Nashville. Now, she's come out to defend herself and set the record straight. She doesn't hate Nashville. What a ridiculous thing to say. Let's go to clip number 7 here. She posted this with the all caps label. No, I do not hate the city I represent. Okay, what a crazy idea. Let's watch.
State Representative Afton Bame here, the Democratic nominee for the 7th Congressional Special Election in Tennessee. For those of you just joining in, I often record segments in my Jeep Wrangler called Wranglin' Time. Yes, there is a theme song, and no, I will not be singing it today. But yes, I will bring it back because I know a lot of you miss it, and you've said I sing well.
She's so quirky.
So I look a little rough. I have bags under my eyes because the Republican eye of Sauron has finally shifted towards moi. And I'm sure you've seen the commercials. I'm sure you've seen the onslaught of ads. And then today, the Republicans decided that they're going to start this narrative that me, the state representative who represents downtown Nashville, doesn't like the city. Now, I always want Nashville to be better, right? I want Nashville to be a place where working people can thrive, right? But sure, I get mad at the Bachelorette sometimes. I get mad at the pedal taverns, right? And you're talking to someone who has cried no less than 10 times in the Country Music Hall of Fame. The girl that just goes to the Ryman to hang out. No, we're not even going to go there. We are so close to winning this race, which is why these rumors are getting more wild. So I can't wait to see what they come up with next. But y'all, please keep doing the work.
What they come up with next. Okay, all right. We could take it down. She's so quirky. She's so relatable. It's like, she's like, I'm sure my Jeep Wrangler. It's like, whatever. And the Republicans, these crazy Republicans with their eye of Sauron, have decided to come out with this narrative that I hate the city. It's like, what? What are they going to come up with next? Anyway, here's a video of her saying that she hates the city. Clip number 6. Let's watch.
I've been heavily involved with the Nashville mayoral race because I hate the city. I hate the Bachelorettes. I hate the pedal taverns. I hate country music. I hate all of the things that make Nashville, apparently, and its city to the rest of the country, but I hate it. Yeah, I'm that girl at the airport that all these Bachelorettes are giddy walking out in their two-toned colored Pantone pink shirts, and they walk out, and I'm like, they're like, oh my God, Nashville is so bad.
They're so loud.
I know we say it all the time. It's worth reminding you. Democrats are all terrible people. I wish it wasn't the case. I wish I could look at the divide and say, this is fake. This is imposed. No, there's one side that just genuinely, they really hate you. They hate the city they represent. They hate the things they say they love. I mean, it's just endless hate from these people. And then when called on it, they're like, the Republicans have come up with this crazy narrative. I hate Nashville. And then she's on video, or she's recorded saying, quote, I hate this city. I hate everything about the city that makes it this city. I hate the Bachelorette Party. But I cry at the Country Music Museum. It's like, no, but when you don't know you're being recorded, you say you hate all of it. Specifically, you hate country music, you said, according to you. So just like, these people are liars. I don't know what else to tell you. They lie, they lie, they lie.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Look, all I'm saying is that names have meaning and they impact lives. It's actually pretty stunning how names can determine people's personality and stuff. And when you name your kid Afton Bane, they're going to become a supervillain. I don't know what else to tell you. Afton Bane. Vote for me. I'm Afton Bane. It's like, okay, have you ever been punched by Batman? It sounds like you're a villain from a cartoon, and then you are one, apparently. Apparently you are one. I want to represent Nashville. I love the country music. I'm just a down-home girl. And then it's just on secret recording, just like, I hate this city. I hate the people. I hate their stupid culture. It's like, of course that's who they want in charge of Nashville. Obviously, if you are looking to exploit and destroy a culture, that's the exact type of person who can lie just as easy as she can breathe, shameless, just absolutely shameless, sitting there in her car, flagrantly lying about things that we have on tape. It's like you really got to understand the level of evil we're talking about here. Like, we're not joking. We're not you know, it's like the It's Always Sunny scene where they're talking about the election. It's Frank being like, Hillary Clinton hates freedom. I was like, what do you mean she hates freedom? It's like, I don't know, dude. They hate freedom. I don't know what else to tell you. They genuinely hate the people that they want to be in charge of. That's the thing I don't understand. That's the thing that's so baffling and sort of inhuman to me. Is like, okay, if you hate Nashville, don't live there. Go somewhere else that you like. You hate the people of Nashville. Like, stop pretending you like them. It's just, it's so, it would never even enter into my mind to like hate a city and be like, but I should be in charge of this. I should be in charge of it. Yeah, let's go to the clip here. It's Always Sunny. One of the you know, dark horses. People don't realize the brilliance of the It's Always Sunny political satire. I think it's better than South Park at this point. Let's go to me telling the truth.
One.
Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton?
Awful.
How is she awful?
Hates freedom.
There are plenty of amazing...
It's true. What are you going to say? It's true. It's absolutely true. Again, you think we're joking. You think it's like, oh, we're exaggerating. But then you catch them on tape, and they're just like, I hate this city. I hate the people in it. I hate the things that make it good. Vote for me. Vote for me to tear it all down. Is it any wonder these places go to crap with these people in charge? They literally hate the places that they want to run. Okay. Hope we're all realizing this, accepting it, internalizing it, and defeating them with everything we've got. Now, we have a ton of very interesting videos with a lot of very pertinent news to get to. I think we'll start with... I don't even know what to start with. We'll start with Ukraine because there is a new peace deal on the table that seems like sort of the last offering from Trump. It seems like he's done with it. He's sick of having to deal with Ukraine. He's sick of having to deal with Russia. He's sick of, you know, putting together these big peace summits and then it just all falls apart because Zelensky is a scumbag. You know, I should have brought in some other stuff. it's sort of a constant, there's sort of a constant buzz in the background. It never rises up to the level that we like want to pay attention to it, but like in the last week, there have been multiple stories of corruption in Ukraine. And it seems like maybe they're just not trying to cover it up anymore. Remember, before Ukraine was invaded, it was considered the most corrupt country in Europe. And there are there's article after article about just how thoroughly corrupt the entire government structure of Ukraine was. Then those articles disappeared. And for 2 years, we've been, or 3 years almost at this point, we've been pretending like they're good and they're a democracy and that we have to, you know, defend them or else all of Europe is lost. It's been ridiculous because we've been at the same time sending them hundreds of billions of dollars that tends to go absolutely missing. Like there have been reports that half the money sent to Ukraine just goes into their pockets. And they just started a new, created a new ski resort worth like $500 million. And one of Zelensky's like underlings was caught stealing $100 million and I think fled to Israel when he was caught with this. So it's all kind of coming apart at the seams, Ukraine. It's sort of falling apart. I don't think they can last too much longer at this rate. And they can't last at all without our support, our intelligence, our weaponry, our money, and our, you know, diplomatic backing. So this is the latest. U.S. demands Ukraine sign peace deal by Thanksgiving or else. Ukraine is under pressure from the Trump administration to sign a peace deal by Thanksgiving Thursday or face a loss of intelligence sharing as well as weapons. Army Secretary Dan Driscoll presented the plan to Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky, which states that Ukraine should Ukraine not comply, they will see an end to intelligence sharing and weapons deliveries. They'll have to give up some land under the plan, which Zelensky has previously said is a non-starter, and that includes the entire eastern Donbass region, the area that Russia has taken during its during the conflict will remain theirs in both Kherson and Zaporizhia, per the New York Post. The war-torn nation would never be permitted to join NATO under the plan and would pledge to not seek membership in that treaty organization. The Biden administration had dangled the possibility of NATO membership before Zelensky and Russian President Vladimir Putin balked at the idea of having another NATO member on his doorstep. So, like, do y'all understand how crazy that is? This whole war was started and perpetuated because the U.S. refused to disallow Ukraine from being a NATO member. Ukraine becoming a NATO member was the thing that Putin wanted to stop, and it was the thing that we kept pushing. And every time there's been a peace deal, it's been a sticking point. And now they're being forced to, or are just going to have to end up agreeing that Ukraine will never be a part of NATO. Meaning this entire war and the 1.7 million dead Ukrainians died for nothing. They died for nothing. They died for less than nothing, really. Considering the democracy they were fighting for doesn't exist in the first place. All of this could have been avoided. All of this has come to nothing because at the end of it all, they're having to give up on the thing that started the war in the first place. It really is pathetic. And Europe is raging at this, impotently, I might add. They're impotently raging at all of this. In fact, I saw, I believe, the president of Poland, previous president, Donald Tusk, you know, coming out and saying, Poland will make our own decisions. Thank you very much. We will not be forced into an agreement one way or the other. It's like, no, you will. No, you're going to go along with what we say because we're America and you're not. And you only exist at our behest. You exist at our, with our permission. Okay. So you're going to do what we want. And that's the way America should be operating around the world anyway. If we're going to have an empire, we should at least benefit from it and use it to our own ends. Let's go to a couple clips from Zelensky here. First, go to clip number 5. This is dictator Zelensky addressing the Ukrainian people about this peace deal. And he's basically admitting defeat. Let's watch. Ukrainians, he says. In the life of every nation, there is a moment when everyone needs to talk honestly, calmly, without assumptions, without all the fuss, as it is. As I always try to talk to you, Now is one of the most difficult moments in our history. Now the pressure on Ukraine is one of the most difficult. Now Ukraine can find itself before a very difficult choice, or the loss of dignity, or the risk of losing a key partner, or the difficult 28 points, or the extremely difficult winter, the hardest and furthest risks. Life without freedom, without dignity, without justice, so that we believe in the one who has already attacked twice. He's like, yeah, sorry, I got 1.7 of your guys killed. I'm going to go retire to my beachfront property in Florida now. You know, I like that Trump is ending these wars. I do want the wars to end, obviously. And it feels like it's more of just like a symptom of the globalist control that still exists, that these wars are not ending in the way that they should and would historically. Like, it seems like we're going to come to an agreement. Russia's going to take the land that it's conquered. Ukraine's going to have to go along with it, promise not to invade NATO. And it's just going to be sort of dropped, which is like, fine, it's better to not have the war than have the war. But I'm thinking also of, you know, what happened with Israel and Gaza. And like, people weren't happy with that, and people aren't going to be happy with what's happening in Ukraine, because typically in history, what we learned was that at the end of a war, one side would be utterly defeated and would be forced to submit to sometimes outrageous demands, but always some sort of final trial, final agreement that places the blame fully on one of the combatants and punishes them for the war. Now, it obviously has some bad outcomes. After World War I, the Treaty of Versailles and the guilt clause, war guilt clause that was placed into the agreement by John Foster Dulles, head of the CIA at the time, totally laid the groundwork for World War II because it instituted crushing debt on Germany totally unfairly when Germany never lost an acre of land during that war. So I'm not saying, you know, we want to like repeat that by any means, but it seems like if Zelensky just got 1.7 million of his people killed for nothing, maybe that's a crime. Maybe that should be treated as a crime of some sort. Maybe we need a trial so his own people can judge what he just led them through. Or in the case of Israel and Gaza, you would think that Israel would be treated like the Nazis at the end of that conflict, considering the fact that you had the Nuremberg trials, where all of the evidence of the dehumanization and the genocide and the killing of innocent people across Eastern Europe was presented, and the people were charged and convicted as war criminals and then hung until they're dead. Now we are seeing the genocide being live streamed every day from Gaza, and the people committing it, I guess, are now going to build waterfront property there. So it feels like there's an inadequacy to the conclusion of some of these conflicts that, I think it just tells you that the wars are fake. The wars are fake, and they're meant to go on forever, and Trump ending them was not in the plans. So they're being forced to allow the wars to end, but they're not ending in a way that they would if they were a real conflict that, you know, we didn't have the ability to stop at any point if we chose to. Does that make sense? I don't know. Makes sense to me. So that was Zelensky basically admitting defeat and saying, you know, we're not going to have any dignity. I'm sorry, son, you have no dignity. Never had dignity. I don't know what else to tell you. You're fighting a war for dignity now? Well, you're not a democracy, so you were fighting a war for democracy. That doesn't exist. Now you're fighting a war for dignity, even though you are a pathetic rat whose only accomplishment has been begging on your knees for other countries to give you weaponry to fight a war for which there is no point and never was a point. And this conclusion was always the inevitable outcome. It was either this or World War III, nuclear weapons, all of Europe in flames. These are the two options we have, and we've always had. Since the day Putin invaded Ukraine in February of 2022, the inevitable outcomes are a crushing defeat of Ukraine or World War III. That's it. There was never going to be any other opportunity. Now, or there's never going to be any other outcome to this. Ideally, I think what they told people the outcome would be, the whole point of the Ukraine war from the American perspective was to kill Ukrainians in order to weaken Russia, is to let Russia spend all of their resources and send all of their men into Ukraine to the killing fields. We could try to weaken Russia militarily and diplomatically without wasting any of our own lives. And we did that by installing Zelensky and then having him feed his own population into the meat grinder. Again, just totally horrific and awful and horrible. And that's why I think it's kind of, I'm kind of torn about this. Yes, I want peace. At the same time, it's like the crime that we've seen committed in front of our eyes, the manipulation, the corruption from Joe Biden and the withholding $1 billion to force this situation to the overthrow of the Ukrainian government, and the color revolution sponsored by George Soros and carried out by Victoria Nuland to, I mean, it's just the criminality is overwhelming. And when it ends with a whimper, it's kind of like, but where are the executions? But where are the where's the punishment for these mass murderers who have led 1.7 million Ukrainians to the abyss for nothing? I like peace. I want satisfaction. I want justice even more. Let's go to clip number four here. This is all the way back in time. This is a month after the war began. Here's President Zelensky in March of 2022 explaining what the purpose of the Ukraine war was. Keep this in mind as you watch this. Remember, the peace agreement he's going to sign removes the land that he was fighting for and totally disallows his inclusion into Ukraine, or inclusion into NATO for Ukraine. Here's what he was saying in March of 2022. He says, everyone has varied interests. There are those in the West who don't mind a long war. Because it would mean exhausting Russia, even if this means the demise of Ukraine. And comes at the cost of Ukrainian lives. This is definitely in the interest of some countries. Not in the interest of his country, but he went along with it. It's like he knew March of 2022, the war began in February of 2022, right? I have that right, right? And so he knew at that point, this is a proxy war by the West to waste Ukrainian lives to weaken Russia. And he went along with it. Here we are, 3.5 years later, and he's achieved nothing. The original goals set out have been abandoned. 1.7 million people are dead. And we're basically where we were if this war had never started. This war had never started. Ukraine would be where it is now. Russia would be where it is now. If we'd agreed at the time, hey, you're right. We promised NATO would never move more towards Russia. We've moved more towards Russia continually over decades. This is a red line for Putin. Let's just agree. Ukraine will never be in NATO. We could have avoided 1.7 million dead Ukrainians. God only knows how many dead Russians. And just the horror that we've seen in the last 2.5 years. 3.5 years. It could have all been avoided. And that was on purpose. And they say, he said it right there. I don't need to speculate. I don't need to say, you know, I think the Americans, you know, knew this was the case the whole time and did it. Zelensky himself knew in 2022, and he went along with it the entire time. Absolute scumbag traitor. And we've paid hundreds of billions of dollars to do nothing but senselessly kill an entire generation of Ukrainians. I guess that's not entirely true. Let me correct myself. Certain people are benefiting. After all, Goldman Sachs and BlackRock have the contracts to rebuild Ukraine, and the immigration NGOs are already gearing up and ready to replace the soldiers fed into the Ukrainian meat grinder with a bunch of African imports. So So they'll do well. So they've, you know, eradicated a generation of men in Ukraine, and now those men will be replaced with Africans, and BlackRock and Goldman Sachs will profit hugely from the war that they've helped create, perpetuate, and now end. So well done. Well done, you absolute murderous psychopaths. And there's another thing going on right now when it comes to Ukraine. But again, if you're a InfoWars viewer, you know I've been covering this from the beginning, and that is the aspect of the Ukrainian war that has to do with the overall overarching globalist scheme of a one world government with a one world religion, and understanding that the Russian Orthodox Church is seen as a major barrier to their satanic plans. The Russian Orthodox Church, unlike many other church organizations, including the Vatican or, you know, any of the sort of Zionist evangelical Christians here in America, the Russian Orthodox Church tells people that it's all a scam. They tell people globalism is a scam. They tell people the mark of the beast is coming. They actually oppose the system. And I've explained this a million times, but when it comes to, you know, the New World Order and the way it uses religion, you can't just say one religion is in favor of the New World Order and another's not. There's factions of all of them. And you'll see that certain factions are favored by the New World Order. Certain factions are despised by the New World Order. The Russian Orthodox Church, despised by the New World Order. Christian evangelicals, they love the New World Order. Or the New World Order loves them. New World Order loves Catholics. They love the Wahhabist Muslims. They hate the, Iranian-style, more moderate Muslims. They hate the Orthodox Christians. And they're really making it overt here. Joe Wilson, a representative of America, says this: the Russian Orthodox Church is not a separate religious organization, but an extension of the Russian state. Evangelizing is illegal in Russia, and Christians are targeted and killed in Ukraine. Members should not entertain this intelligence operation. So this guy is saying that a religion that millions of people adhere to in America is actually an intelligence operation from a foreign state, and the Christians are being killed in Ukraine. Ukraine itself is crushing the Christians in their own country, and the creation of the Ukrainian church as an offshoot or a breakaway from the Russian Orthodox Church was done outside of the process by which they're supposed to go through. They're supposed to get permission from the Metropolitan of Moscow, the head of the Orthodox Russian Church that the Ukrainian church was once a part of. They didn't. They got a dispensation from the Metropolitan or the Bishop of Istanbul, I think. It's very weird. But the point is, they launched the war in Ukraine in part as a way to sever a huge portion of the Russian Orthodox Christians away from their church and create a new church that would be more globalist and call it the Ukrainian church. This is all, you know, part and parcel of the same operation. We'll return to this on the other side, because at the same time as this, you have a piece from the New York Times saying Orthodox Church pews are overflowing with converts. And you have the, American representatives claiming that Russia and the Russian Orthodox Church is a foreign intelligence operation. Like, that is totally unacceptable. Like, that, it's crazy that a representative of America has decided that entire religion should be banned, I guess. So we'll get back to this on the other side, because I want to compare and contrast what they say about Russian Orthodoxy, maybe some other religions in America.
My fellow InfoWarriors, we are having right now, in late November into early December, the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, the bad guys are about to take it over. Why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction, or they're saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so, because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle, they're going to, you know, auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this, we'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Because remember last year when The Onion, this time last November, announced that they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people were like, well, we're not going to give them money. But of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. Remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money. They want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser, last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever, works incredibly. This is a product that I came up with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart. So good for the cardiovascular. Spike protein detoxer, and men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate.
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, this is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Again, I'm seeing signals that I don't like about the Russian Orthodox Church or the Orthodox Church in general. Again, Joe Wilson, representative in America, says the Russian Orthodox Church is not a separate religious organization, but an extension of the Russian state. Again, we've been reporting on this for a while. A lot of people probably talked a lot about the Ukraine war. How many of them have told you about the split between the Ukrainian and Russian church and how central that is to the plot of the globalists that launched this whole war in the first place? It's about taking out Russia as a barrier to the New World Order, and their church is a major, major part of that. But of course, what he's saying doesn't even really apply to Russia. It's outrageous that he would say this anyway, considering the fact that he probably has thousands of constituents that are Russian Orthodox and probably never even been to Russia or anything. I mean, it's really, in a lot of ways, a ridiculous claim to make. And it would be obvious how ridiculous it is if it was applied to a religion and a country that it actually applies to. I think you know where I'm... Do you know where I'm going with this? It's not going to be a surprise, is it? How acceptable would it be to say Judaism is not a separate religious organization, but an extension of the Israeli state. That might make people mad, huh? And after all, evangelizing is, in fact, illegal in not Russia, but Israel. They actually just made it illegal. And I don't know what he's saying evangelizing is illegal in Russia. I think he means like trying to evangelize something other than religious orthodoxy. I've never heard of that. I don't know how you have a Christian country with a like explicitly Christian government with the church being like involved in government operations. Because he is right about that. It doesn't mean the Orthodox Church is the government. It means the Orthodox Church plays a role in the government, just like the Church of England plays a role in the English government. I mean, the King of England is the head, is the Pope of the Anglican Church. Okay, this is actually kind of normal for most countries. However, I do know that there is actually a law in Israel against trying to convert anybody or evangelizing Christianity at all. And Christians are targeted and killed, he says, in Ukraine, which is, again, interesting because the Ukrainian government has suppressed and oppressed the Russian Orthodox Church pretty relentlessly. Tucker Carlson's done entire, episodes about this. That's Ukraine oppressing Christians, not Russians. But he's blaming Russia for this, when, again, it would be just as applicable to say Christians are being targeted and killed in the West Bank or Gaza, which is where that's happening. Members should not entertain this intelligence operation. That's actually more applicable, I think, to Judaism in Israel than Russia and the Russian Orthodox Church, but you would never hear that because of what an outrageous thing it is to say that an entire religion is, in fact, an intelligence operation of a state and should therefore be suppressed in America. Totally crazy, but that's what's being said. Again, this happens at the same time. The New York Times admits that Orthodox church pews are overflowing with converts, saying something is changing in an otherwise quiet corner of Christianity in the United States, one that prides itself on how little it has changed over time. Priests are swapping stories about record attendance numbers. Older members are adjusting, or not, to the influx of new attendees. Parishes are strategizing about how to accommodate more prospective converts than existing clergy can reasonably handle on their own. So the Orthodox Church, Eastern Orthodox tradition, is exploding in America. Why? The answer is obvious, because they stick to tradition. And that's what people want. And nobody wants, like, these churches are in a doom spiral where their members' number is going down. So they're like, oh, we got to do something. They're like, I know, let's abandon our principles. I know, let's abandon the things that we believe and instead become gay. Maybe that will help. And so then people who actually want church, they actually want a spiritual gathering that's meaningful, and they're getting from the pulpit the same thing they hear at CNN, and they're like, this is stupid, I'm leaving. And so then the numbers go down even more, and the church goes, oh, geez, we need to open up even more. It's very stupid. Whereas the Orthodox Church basically is just doing what it's been doing for 2,000 years, celebrating the actual things Christians believe, celebrating masculinity and femininity in a biblical way, and people are drawn to that. They're drawn to the strength and the consistency and the moral certainty that they represent, not the wishy-washy, frankly, gay activities of the American churches. Again, the powers that be don't want this. They don't like this. They're happy if you're going to some mega church that tells you that, Israel is the, modern state of Israel is the same as the ones back then, and that, Jesus needs us to start World War III so he can come back. Like, all this absurd stuff that is just funneling Christians into what will become the, Abrahamic one-world religion. They would love if you joined those churches. They don't want you joining the churches with the men in beards. That's the one they don't want you joining. Now, friend of the show, Max Anthony Pacheco at Real Max Pacheco on X, noted this, said Orthodox Christians should know what kind of political attacks are coming our way in the next few years. In the New York Times article published yesterday about the flood of converts coming into the church, especially young men, there were a lot of not-so-subtle accusations of anti-Semitism, white supremacy, racism, and far-right extremism being prevalent in the church. Indeed, these terms are meaningless, but they're still an attack on the church. Not to mention the weak slander from Representative Joe Wilson just days ago that ROCOR, the Russian Orthodox Church, and the Serbian Church are assets of foreign intelligence. It goes without saying that such slander serves only as vindication of the Orthodox faith. Leftist institutions are quite desperate to undermine the church's effectiveness at curing our spiritually sick culture. Will they succeed in their endeavor? Not according to the church's to Christ's promise that the gate of Hades will not prevail against the church. So again, he points out some of the, you know, statements from the New York Times that, again, is talking about how dangerous it is that people are becoming Orthodox because of how, you know, traditional they are. Says this, Representative Josiah Trinum is one of the most well-known American priests, appeared on Tucker Carlson's show shortly after the assassination of right-wing activist Charlie Kirk to discuss Christian mourning traditions. In a more recent video, reflection on the prominent white nationalist Nick Fuentes' appearance on Mr. Carlson's show, Father Trinum claimed he didn't know much about Mr. Fuentes and went on to praise the man's conversion, a conversation about the scourge of pornography. Father Trinum's congregation in Riverside, California, has more than 1,000 active parishioners and 240 in the process of converting. 5 years ago, I had 75, which I thought was a lot, he said in an interview this fall. The trajectory is increasing. So again, these subtle implications, the insinuations going on here. You know, this guy who calls himself a priest, he didn't denounce Nick Fuentes, claim not to know much about him. Like, yeah, he probably doesn't. He probably doesn't care. And after all, Nick Fuentes is a Catholic, so like, why even bring him up in this conversation, except that you're trying to smear this priest because he appeared on Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes also appeared on Tucker Carlson, creating the link in the minds of readers that this priest is, you must be one of those Nick Fuentes type characters, the Tucker Carlson types. He goes on to say, certain corners of the Orthodox internet are not only just conservative and traditionalist, but openly racist and anti-Semitic. Oh my God. Look, let me tell you something you probably already know. Christianity is anti-Semitic by definition. Okay? Why? Because it's not Judaism. It is, in fact, a different religion. Different religions believe different things. If I am a Christian and believe that Jesus Christ is God and died and rose from the dead, cured all of our, you know, cured all of our sins, forgave us our sins, et cetera, et cetera, then I don't believe Judaism. It's just, sorry, that's how it is, okay? You can be one or the other, but these are different religions with different beliefs. Sorry about that, okay? And there's a trend that Orthodox writers have identified from a long time ago. And again, if you want to learn about the modern world, read books by Orthodox priests. Okay? They really are like really slandering the Orthodox Church these days. In the South, there's a certain strain of neo-Confederate Orthodoxy that marries white supremacy and Orthodox practice. Matthew Heimbach, who organized the notorious Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017, had been excommunicated from the Antiochian Orthodox Church, but joined another branch. If he'd been excommunicated, that would hint to me that it's not exactly in favor of what he was doing. So that would be against your thing. But like, why is this seen as anything different than what it is? This is just anti-Christian slander. That's all this is. That's all this is. I hate to use just the same thing over and over, but just imagine. You can just imagine if it was the other way around. All this is doing is taking something that is in the public's mind as a bad, racist, hateful thing and saying, well, you know somebody who was in that? You know, he was Orthodox, right? So maybe it's this religion that's really the problem. It's like, okay, is that how we're doing this? Okay, so if we point to an evil thing and point out that a Jewish person is in charge of it, I guess kind of all of Judaism is convicted in this, huh? If I'm going to take the mindset of these people, like, we shouldn't accept this. This is a extremely hateful and irresponsible thing for the New York Times to print, and it's an obvious, blatant, and direct attack on Orthodox Christians. It's not that complicated. Be obvious if it was any other group. Orthodox Christian writer Rod Dreher recently warned that, quote, anti-Semitism is spreading like a virus among religious conservatives of the Zoomer generation, including among the Orthodox. In interviews, parish priests say they see part of their job to acculturate ortho bros with extreme views to parish life, which they insist was far removed from violent rhetoric online. Yeah, obviously. Like, what are you talking about? The Orthodox Church has nothing to do with violent rhetoric online or so-called anti-Semitism. And if you want to know about this stuff, read things from Father Seraphim Rose, Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future, or Father Spiridon, who writes about how, you know, aliens are being used as a New World Order psyop to destroy Christianity or to undermine it. And other things they talk about are things like multicultural faith summits, where all different faiths come together and they try to see, you know, how they can, you know, live together better, whatever it is. And he points out and he lists all these different, you know, summits that were carried out. And in every single one of them, it was Christianity that was made to change. You never see, you know, these interfaith summits happen and it comes out saying, you know, we've decided that the Jews need to be less anti-Christian. And we're agreeing to remove some language in our holy books that, you know, Christians don't like. Never happens. But you do see these summits occur, and the churches say, yeah, we changed some of the language so it wouldn't foster anti-Semitism. It's like, how is it that constantly, this isn't about two faiths both changing to meet in the middle. It's always the Christians are expected to change and comport themselves for the benefit of other religions. And it's been happening since, like, the 60s. And the Father Seraphim Rose book goes through the history of it. Critics say the top church leaders rarely condemn even the most noxious rhetoric from high-profile Orthodox Christians. Quote, from an institutional perspective, I get it. You're excited about growth, said Sarah Riccardi Schwartz, an assistant professor of religion and anthropology at Northwestern University, who was written about Americans who convert to Russian Orthodoxy. But when that growth comes with violent political tendencies, that's not good. It has to be checked. So it's just an attack on the church. I don't know what else to tell you. It's just literally just an attack on the faith of Orthodox Christianity by mostly Jewish people. So, like, why would that be okay? And again, if you want to associate people converting to Orthodoxy and anti-Semitism or extremism or whatever else, like, it's first of all, dishonest. Second of all, it's just a blood libel against, you know, Christian, whatever. But it's also, like, are we going to do, is this what we're doing now? Is this what we're doing now? So apparently, you know, ortho bros have this troublesome track record of being racist online. That's what we just heard. I hate to say it. There's another religion that has a track record, not of making statements online, but of murdering tens of thousands of innocent people and then celebrating it. Okay, what are we concerned about here? What are we worried about? I don't like seeing this conflict, but it's here. Okay? We need to get over it. It's the church's fault for this. The American churches, it's their fault for going gay, for listening to the people like that Schwartz woman. And it's really concerning that, you know, your church is growing so fast. You know, we might want to check that a little bit. I want to watch out for that. Okay, so you're the enemy. I mean, that's all you need to understand. That was an article written by the enemy, promoting the enemy's ideas and the enemy's attack against the church. Just laying that out. You should be aware of the danger that the Orthodox Church poses to the New World Order and the subtle ways that they are signaling that it will soon be a major vector of attack. Because their attempt to divide the church through the Ukraine war seems to be coming to an end. And on that note, I want to go to a video, very, very funny video, clip number 14. This is a video that we showed the real video yesterday, the woman at the Jewish summit of some sort or another talking about how, you know, dangerous it was for people to take the lessons they learned from Holocaust class and apply it to modern conflicts, because that might give you the wrong idea of what you're supposed to come out of Holocaust class believing. And she actually says, we've been using Holocaust class to stop anti-Semitism, which again, sort of gives the game away. It's not about the Holocaust. It's not about, you know, stopping a you know, tragedy like this, a humanitarian disaster like the Holocaust ever again. It's about stopping people from disliking Jews. That's what anti-Semitism means. That's what you're doing if you're fighting anti-Semitism through Holocaust classes. So every school kid in America is by law obligated to go to the Love Jews class, to the, you know, worship and never criticize Jew indoctrination period for at least a semester in high school, which is really insane and sick and wrong. Again, it's crazy. It's crazy. Be like if we had, I mean, again, just it's just imagine it's another religion, please. Would you do that for 10 seconds and then decide whether you're in favor or against this thing? Just imagine if the Catholics, you know, used a massive lobbying and blackmail effort to get past the story of the Crusades. And then you've got Catholic priests on camera going, you know, we said it's about history and, you know, the Crusades, but really it's a, you know, pro-Christian indoctrination class that we've, you know, legally imposed on America. It would be obvious that this is a violation of the separation of church and state, and it never would be allowed. For some reason, Jews get away with it. As if their religion isn't a religion and should just be taught as if it's, you know, basic morality or something. It's not. It's a different religion than the one that we celebrate. So let's go to clip number 14 here, because this is the woman talking about how Holocaust class is backfiring on Israel and somebody else responding to it in a very funny way. Let's watch.
Because they learn about big, strong Nazis hurting weak, emaciated Jews. And they think, oh, anti-Semitism is like anti-black racism. It's not surprising that they think, oh, I know, the lesson of the Holocaust is you fight Israel. You fight the big, powerful people hurting the weak people.
I think people are deliberately misunderstanding what Sarah Hurwitz is trying to say with these comments. She's saying that the Nazis weren't bad because they were a large group of people picking on a small group of people like the Jewish people. They were bad because of the fact that the Jews didn't deserve it. And I think that's important to realize when you think about how many Arabs deserve it.
That's the thing. Holocausts are not inherently bad. It's only bad if the group of people who are being killed didn't deserve it. There are groups of people out there who, if you kill them en masse, it's good. Because some people, if given the chance, would kill large groups of people. How awful is that? Some of these people, Arabs, Blacks, some of them would kill everybody, so we gotta kill them. It's not Holocaust if it's good, if it's bad people. Some bad people deserve it. People every day are seeing Palestinians being killed, and that is because they're looking at it on social media. And then I have all the data that says that's okay. What you're seeing is good. So people are like, I don't want to see the data. I have to look at this video, and I seem obscene. I have crunched the numbers. And the numbers say this is good and fair. We need more data. We have to build a bar graph so high up it reaches the sun, and it blocks out the signal from the internet. But even then, they will be like, I still have my memories, and we need to stop the memories.
That is what they're saying. That is literally what they're saying. Holocausts aren't bad if they're against the right people. There's certain people that deserve it, okay? It's just not us. Like, great. Yeah, it's great. Actually was great. I don't know who that guy was, but very funny stuff. I don't know if I have time for, I think I have time for one more. Clip 21 here. Yeah, let's go to clip 21 here. We're about to welcome Tiffany Cianci, but this is a woman from North Carolina talking about how there's all these sob stories about illegal immigrants, and it's sort of going the opposite way for her. This is what a lot of people are learning when they see that North Carolina is 1/6 of their population is foreign-born, and turns out there's no traffic if there aren't illegals. Let's watch.
So I keep seeing all of these videos out of Charlotte, North Carolina, about how the city has practically shut down because ICE came to town. And I see all of these videos about all of these job sites that are practically empty because none of the workers showed up, and stores that are empty because none of the customers showed up, and how 15% of public school children didn't come to school the next day because they're afraid of being deported. That's 1 in 6 kids, by the way. And I think all these stories are supposed to make me feel really bad. Like, look at all of these people that are being affected by the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. Like, yeah, look at all these people. Look at all of these children of people who shouldn't even be in this country, who are being educated in taxpayer-funded American schools with resources that could be going to American children while our math and literacy rates go through the floor. Look at all of these jobs that could be going to Americans, but all of these businesses are benefiting from practically slave labor. Look at how massive and pervasive this problem has become because you had presidents like Joe Biden just letting people in a tidal wave, and now we got to figure out how to untangle this ball of yarn. Yeah, look at all of these people. That's kind of the point.
Yeah, that's from at Red Wave CG on TikTok. And she's exactly right. And again, you want to see some scenes out of North Carolina? Let's go to clip number 19 and go to clip number 20. Go ahead and roll these background here. This is not Mexico. This is North Carolina. This is Charlotte, North Carolina. Bunch of foreign flags. Bunch of foreign people taking over the streets. Let's go to the next one now, clip 20. Again, not Mexico, North Carolina. This is Charlotte, North Carolina, when Trump tries to crack down on immigration. This is how scared they are. Now they're all hiding. They're all having to hide in fear of Trump. In reality, they are doing street shutdowns, waving the Mexican flag. So I think we need a much, 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 much more significant response to the invasion. I think we need military on the ground treating all these people like what they are, foreign invaders who aren't American, don't belong here, have no rights, and should be expelled. That's just me. But that's just me, an American. We're going to be joined by Tiffany Cianci in just a minute. I do want to tell you about the Black Friday came early sale at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. It's the biggest sale we've ever done. The supplements are incredible, whether it's the Ultramethylene Blue, the Life Ultimate Life Force, the Bovine Colostrum Plus. I mean, they're incredible. Plus, we have the new Hat of the Month Club. We have the Christmas sweaters available now, and all apparel is 25% off for a limited time. I got one here to show you. I got a very nice hoodie pullover from TheAlexJonesStore.com with Santa on it, looking festive. It says Santa's Choice, America First. Very high quality, of course. You can get this as the perfect gift for the info warrior in your life. You're running out of time. Christmas is coming up fast. Go now to TheAlexJonesStore.com. It's the best time ever to get supplements or apparel at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Everything we do is the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear when you spread the word, when you pray for us, when you buy products. So listen, we have shortfalls, and they're not even that big, but I understand the economy's totally shot. Our audience is as big as it's ever been, and back when the economy was going and we had an audience this big, we'd be in high cotton and I'd be able to expand. Right now, I'm just trying to stay on air. So I need you to make the decision to go to TheAlexJonesStore.com right now and take advantage of the biggest sale ever. Black Friday came early. That's right. Black Friday has come early. We always launch it the weekend before Black Friday. Be a little different. Black Friday comes early. Mega sale, the biggest sale ever. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. The Irish Sea Moss, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and dozens of other amazing products. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. Ends Friday, November 28th. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement for free. Normally, it's buy one bottle of Irish Sea Moss, get another bottle of Irish Sea Moss, or buy one bottle of Methylene Blue, get another bottle. No, this is add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Friday, November 28th. Visit TheAlexJonesStore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Take advantage of this amazing deal while supplies last. And here's another little tidbit that makes this a total loss leader when you use it. If you go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Droid or Apple app for free, that are the top apps, just in the last few months we launched it, folks at Bigly, the Alex Jones channel, the Alex Jones network, it's the same shopping cart on the app for your desktop or phone.
You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top. So everybody should get the app and should definitely use that. But if you want to support us more, get more funds in, then don't use the app and get the additional 20% off. I'm serious. It's like a form of a donation. When I tell you that I need your support, it's absolutely critical. This is the most critical time.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.